Open your Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. There's a pastor in somewhere in Colorado, I think it was, and he had a lot of ranchers that came to his church, and one Sunday night they had a big snowstorm, and one fellow showed up, and the pastor was talking to the fellow and said, you know, I don't know, maybe we should just pray. And the fellow said, no, he said, you know, when I go out and feed the cattle, if only one of them comes to the trough, I still feed that cow. So he says, you need to preach. And so the pastor got up and preached for an hour and 30 minutes. And when the service was over, the fellow came to the pastor and he said, Pastor, when I feed that one cow, I don't give him the whole truckload. I'll try not to waste the time today and use it wisely. This is an exciting passage to me. A lot of the times there's two ways you can apply the Bible. One of them is a way that represents the benefits that we have, the things Christ has done for us. And the other way is to the responsibility that we have, the things that we should do because of what he's done for us. They're both in this passage. I'll lean towards the first more than the second. But Daniel is an example. He's a picture. He's a symbol, if you will. He shows us some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. We're going to look at verses 24 through 30. But I want to remind you that way back in chapter 2 and verse 1, if you look there before we read, it says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. And that's how the story got started. And the king called in the wise men, and the astrologers, magicians, anybody he could find. And he said, I don't remember what the dream was, but I want you to tell me what I dreamed and tell me what it means. And those fellows couldn't do that. And so the king said, fine, since you can't help me, I'm just going to kill all of you. And he condemned not just those men, but Daniel and his friends were also apparently objects of this condemnation, and their life was on the line. So Daniel, with this situation in mind, goes, asks the king to give him, or asks the king's servant to let him have an opportunity to reveal this dream. And that's where we're going to pick up today in verse 24. The picture is pretty clear. It's a life and death situation. The king knows that something very, very important needs to be disclosed, but he doesn't know what it is. A lot of people in the world today are in that situation where they know that they're going to die, and they know that there's something, at least they think there's something after death. They don't know what it is, and it troubles them, and they've looked here and they've looked there, and they can't find anyone to give them the answer. And folks, you and I know the answer. Don't take that for granted. A lot of folks in this world don't know the answer. They've pushed not just the worldly wisdom aside, but they've pushed the Bible aside and they've given up. And that's kind of where the king is in this passage. He's given up on finding the truth, and it angers him enough. He didn't want those wise men anymore. He just killed them all. I've given up on finding wisdom. I've given up on finding the answer, finding the truth. So I just want to be done with this. But that's not God's plan. And so, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, I'm going to read verses 24 to 30 and show you what God's plan was and what it is today even. Therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, as we open the Bible and we read this passage, and we can see in our mind Daniel standing before that king in confidence, knowing the answer. And it's in a time when no one else had the answer. He got that answer from you, and he's about to give it to the king in the subsequent verses. But Lord, today, we can see a picture here very clearly that there was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ interceded for us. And there has been also a day when somebody, some person, came and brought us the answer that we needed to hear, how that Christ had died for our sins and how he was buried and rose again the third day. And someone interceded and brought us the secret and explained to us what it meant so that we could be saved. Lord, thank you for that. That's the most amazing thing, that you brought us somewhere in our life to that place where we could hear the gospel. And now, today, as we sit here, I pray that we would remember there are other folks that need to hear as well. And I pray you'd put a burden in our heart to tell them, and that you'd bring them to us or take us to them, whatever it might be, so that we could reveal that secret to them as well. Please bless those that are absent today, those that are ill especially, care for them. But bless us in this room, we pray, with something that will make a difference in our life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Back in the 1980s, actually it would have been 1987, we were members of a church in Salt Lake City, Anchor Baptist Church. And there was a lady there that was the secretary. Her name was Donna Fox, and her husband worked for GE, the same company that Mr. Mendez has been doing some work for. He worked for most of his life, and her husband would travel a lot, and she was a secretary at the church, really sweet lady. When I got licensed to preach, she painted a watercolor for me that I've still got hanging on my wall at my house, and just a real sweet lady. And nothing at all wrong with her, but my wife and I found out that my wife was going to have a baby, and we didn't tell anybody at all. It was a secret just between the two of us, and was it her or Stephanie? I can't remember my first or my second child that we did this with, but we didn't tell anybody except that one lady. And then we kept it quiet to see what would happen. And before you know it, people are coming up to us. Oh, I heard you're going to have a baby. We know how the secret got out. We know that the secretary of the church can't keep a secret, and that's fine. We were just kind of playing around with it anyway. Sometimes it's hard to keep a secret. Folks, God knows how to keep secrets. The fact is, the Lord Jesus Christ said that when he saved us, that his blood washes our sins so that they're white as snow. That the sin, the evidence of the sin, the memory of the sin is completely erased. It is, if you will, an eternal secret that you ever committed that sin. When you got saved, you obtained what the Bible calls the righteousness of Christ. But how I want to look at this verse here, just for the next few moments, without giving you the whole load, so to speak, is to look at what's happening here in these verses and compare it to what Christ has done for us. And so it starts out, if you will, in verse 24. There's a statement there in the middle of that verse where Daniel says, "Bring me in before the king." He and his friends and a whole lot of other people are condemned. And he could have just done this for himself, but he explains later that wasn't his purpose necessarily. But what he said was, "I want to be the one to face the king in regard to this matter." Now, you understand that when you sinned against God, and we take it so lightly sometimes, oh, I broke God's law. You have intentionally disobeyed the creator of the universe. You've intentionally disobeyed the God that created you, and that is not a small thing. And when you did that, you, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. You earned a death sentence. You were condemned to die, and you couldn't do a thing about it. You couldn't get baptized for it. You couldn't change yourself and do good works to make up for it. There was no way you could save yourself. You and I should have gone and spent eternity in hell for our sins. There's no question about that. There was a condemnation, a death sentence from a king, if you will, and there was nothing that could be done about it by us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Daniel said, bring me in. You see, he, and only he, is the one that was worthy to save us from our sins. It's sort of like when we read in the book of the Revelation, they have this, the book was sealed with seven seals, and they were trying to find someone that could open the book, and no one could open the book. And then, finally, the Lord Jesus Christ appears, and they say, "Thou art worthy." And then they explain how he's worthy, and he's the one that could open that book when no one else could. And that book, by the way, is the judgment of the world for their sin. He is qualified to judge us because he is righteous, but he's also qualified to save us. Bring me in. And so then when you think about that intercession, he's willing to be the one to make the difference. And if he had not done so, many would have died. Now, in the area of responsibility, just to mention it to you, you know the answer. You know how to have forgiveness for your sins. And you have obtained that forgiveness by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Amen? There are people that are still in the same condition as this king. They're troubled. They don't know the answer. They don't know the secret. And they're looking for the answer. Now, I know there are a lot of people that have given up, like the king gave up. And they don't want to talk to anybody. Kill all the wise men. I don't want to hear from any of them anymore. And you come across people like that. And they've given up. And they don't want to hear it from you because they've already decided there's no answer to be obtained. And they're just living life until they die. That's a horrible way to live, by the way. But the king, in this case, was willing to give Daniel the opportunity, and he said, "I will intercede. I will go between the judgment and the people that are condemned, just like Jesus did for you and I." That's one of the reasons we love him so much, because what he was willing to do for us. So there's the intercession here. Daniel says, "Bring me in." And I like verse 25. There's a phrase there that I think you need to look at carefully. Arioch brings Daniel in, and here's what he says. "I have found a man." You know, we might say it this way. "I found a savior." It's not hopeless, is it? We take it for granted. Once again, we've trusted in Christ. I never, ever lay down at night to go to sleep wondering where I'm going to spend eternity. I never, ever. When I was in the hospital, and the doctor kept coming in saying, "This is very serious. This could kill you," he says, you know, and I wasn't thinking it was going to kill me, and surely enough it didn't, but I'm not worried about death because the Bible says to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. As like Paul said, it's better to go and be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he told some folks, he said, "But it's needful for you that I stay." And that's the reason that our life is important. It's not for us, it's for other people. The man here named Arioch, he comes to the king and he says, "I found a man. There's hope." We need to tell some people that message, don't we? Intercession. Then the second thing I want to look at that Daniel did and that the Lord Jesus Christ did is not just providing intercession, but providing information. And for that one, we're going to look at verse 28. He says in verse 28, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." I do not understand why or how anybody could not believe there's a God. It doesn't make any sense. Evolution is one of the craziest things. I won't even get into it. But it defies science. It defies reason. The complexity of our human body is definitely an intelligent design. It's not an accident. It couldn't possibly be an accident. And how somebody can say there's no God, I don't understand. But Daniel, when he comes, he says to the king, "There is a God in heaven." And he's not just in heaven. He says in verse 28, "He revealeth secrets." Now, you might take it for granted once again, but what this book is, it's the revelation of secrets. How would you have known had it not been for this book? I'm fascinated, for example, that in the first couple of chapters of Genesis, there's a detailed account of each day of creation. But nobody was there until day six. And yet somehow we have the record for days one through five, don't we? That's because there is a God that revealeth secrets. And you know, it's interesting how God reveals his secrets. In this passage even, think about this now. We're going to look at this dream next week, and it's hard to find application for that, but it's a fascinating dream. It's a picture of the history of the world is what it is. This is what this dream is that he's going to reveal. It's that you've heard of the figure, the statue, and we'll talk about it next week, and he's got different elements, gold and silver and clay and the feet and so on. We'll talk about that next week, but when Daniel comes to the king to reveal this secret, he comes in and he says, there's a God that can reveal this. Just like creation, God told Moses, Moses wrote it down, now you've got it. Have you taken the answer to the secret and given it to somebody this week? Aren't you glad somebody gave it to you? He provided information. It says, he revealeth secrets. I like Deuteronomy 29. Don't turn there. I'll just read it to you. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And we take it for granted. You say, what's going to happen when you die? I know exactly what's going to happen. I've never been there. I haven't been able to go there and come back. I worry about some people that say they have. I'm not going to discredit anybody, but it sounds curious to me because my Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I attended my father's funeral, laying there in the casket, and, nice suit and so on, and you look there, and the first thing you think of when you see somebody that has stepped into eternity is, they're not there anymore. There's a body, but they're not there anymore. You have a body, and right now, you're there. But one of these days, the body's going to stay behind, and you're going to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? You've never been there. You can't talk to the people that are there because God revealed that secret. And that's just one secret. There are some secrets that you need answers to in order to live your life. I'll give you some examples. You need to find out who it is if you're not married, and especially these young people who I'm talking to right now, you need to find out who God wants you to marry. God knows who he wants you to marry. You need to find out. If you're young and you're not sure what you're going to do with your life, you need to find out what path God wants to put you on in your life. Isn't it great to be on the path God put you on? And that's a secret until God reveals it to you. And then in your life, you're going to make some decisions. You're going to make decisions about what to do, where to go, and job changes, and joining the right church, and so on. This book is still a book that reveals secrets. And it will guide you. You see, he doesn't just provide intercession, he provides information. He says God reveals the secrets, and God revealed that secret to Daniel. Daniel gave it to the king. God has revealed things to you. We need to tell some folks. There are folks that wonder. That's why our church is here, to proclaim the truth, not just inside this room, but around our neighborhood and in our city, and not just in our city, but to send missionaries around the world. I've had the opportunity to visit several different mission fields, and the one that I know the most about is Thailand. And I sat in a room on a Sunday afternoon in Thailand with a man and his couple of children he had with him, and we had an interpreter. He wanted to ask me some questions. I'm a pastor in America, and he worked in Thailand, and I think he worked for an oil company or something. He was pretty well off, and so he asked the missionary to ask me, and the first question he asked is, why are you here? Why would you leave your home in the United States and spend the money to come to Thailand? Why are you here? You're not a tourist. You're not going and seeing the sights. You're not working. You don't have a job. Why are you here? And the answer was easy. We came here to to tell people about Jesus because they need to hear. And I'm glad to report to you that that church is now in existence because a missionary came to Thailand, a country that doesn't know no Christmas, no Thanksgiving, very, very little to do with Christianity at all. A lot of Buddhism everywhere you look, Buddhism, 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 very little Christianity. Some of the Chinese, some other religions, but no Christianity. And that missionary went to some people in Thailand and told them the very same thing that you and I were told, that Christ died for their sins. Why should they believe that? But some of them do. And some of them get saved. They need to hear that information. It's almost, the word's not strong enough. It's wonderful. The gospel is incredible. It's beyond description. It's not just information. It's the most important thing you ever heard in your life. And it's a life or death matter, just as it was here, that information got out. So the Lord Jesus Christ did this for us. Daniel did it for these people. We need to do it for others. There's intercession, going before God on their behalf, or going before the king in this case. The information, providing them the information, but it's not enough just to give information. There's one more thing they need, and it's in the last verse here, verse 28 again, and then on down. There needs to be an interpretation. I like the way he says it in verse 30. He says, at the very end of that verse, he says, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. And the idea there is, he's going to make it known what the king has seen and what it means. And Daniel starts off in verse 28, if you look at that, he says, King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what shall be in the latter days. And of course, we know Daniel's a prophet. And Daniel sees four kingdoms. We'll talk about those next week. And he sees things that after this king has gone that happened. And all the way into our day, he sees things in our day, things that will happen. It's not just enough to know what the Bible says. There needs to be an interpretation of it. Now, let's make this real simple for you and I. If you witness to somebody and you just quote scripture to them, that's great. But you know what's really powerful? Instead of just giving them what the Bible says, tell them how it changed your life. You know, I could say to somebody, I know about the Army. I know what the Army, they've got weapons and they've got organization, they've got bases and they've got transportation. And I can know all of that. But I was an officer in the Army, and when I went on to Fort Meade in Maryland, I'd meet with the chaplains, and they were officers as well. I knew about being an officer, but I knew what it was about because I had been one. And you are a Christian, amen? It's not just that you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just that you know about the Bible, you know the one that wrote the Bible, and you have fellowship with him. And it's not just that you've heard these things, you've lived these things. When Paul witnessed to Agrippa, he did not tell Agrippa just the information. He said, here, King Agrippa, here's what happened to me. I was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to me. And here's what he said. And that's what we need to do, is tell folks what Christ did in our life. Don't you love to tell people stories about what happened? You know, sometimes they don't mean anything to anybody but you. On Friday, I was trying to find a plumbing part, and I spent a couple of hours, and I finally did find it. I was excited about that. There's millions of plumbing parts. I needed that one, and I found it. And poor Mr. Mendez was in his office, and I couldn't wait to tell somebody, I found that plumbing part. I told John about it. I just got to tell somebody. Folks, we found the Lord Jesus Christ. How did you find him? Tell somebody. What did he do in your life? Tell somebody. Every one of us here, if you're saved, you have a story to tell about how you found Christ. And they're all different. Some of you got saved in church. Some of you got saved outside of church. Some of you might have been saved at camp. And you remember, I can still, in my mind, I can still picture the things that I was thinking and seeing the night I got saved. And it's eternal. It matters. We don't just provide intercession. We go before the Lord on people's behalf, and we take the information in those people, but we give them an interpretation. How can you use it, the practical side of it? That's one of the reasons it's important to come to church, is to learn more and more about the Lord and about the Bible, so that we can keep teaching folks. Somebody's been doing this for 2,000 years. It still works. We teach people, and they teach others, and they teach others. And so the story grows, and it spreads, and the gospel reaches more people. So let's just go to a conclusion here, and we'll be done. We see Daniel and the Lord Jesus Christ interceded. They went before someone on our behalf. We see the information that they knew the secret, and they revealed the secret, and we can do that for other folks as well. And then there was the interpretation in verse 30 that make known the interpretation to the king, not just what it says, but what it means. Go to, I'll just read it to you. It's in the book of Acts. Here's what Paul said to King Agrippa. He's telling the king the story about how he got saved. And he said, that he tells King Agrippa, he says, I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's not just Paul's mission, it's our mission. Somebody with that mission came to us, didn't they? And because of that, we found Christ. But I guarantee you, somewhere along the way, somebody was praying for you. Mr. Dahlman tells me the story of how he got saved, and I've heard this story many times by other people in the military. I know a fellow in Utah that got saved in college this way. Some people that were saved took note of him and said, we're going to pray for him that he'll get saved. And they prayed, and then they witnessed to him, and then he accepted Christ. Somebody did that for you. Now, folks, why are we here? Just to have a place to meet on Sundays? Just to have something to do from 11 to 12 a couple of times a month? No, we're here to do the same thing that Daniel did, the same thing that Christ did, to intercede, to inform, and to interpret. And then the Holy Spirit will save some more folks. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.